I'm John Batchelor with Professor Eugene Finkel. His book is Intent to Destroy, Russia's 200-year quest to dominate Ukraine. This book will very much help those making decisions about the Ukraine war now. It would have helped if Bill Clinton had read this book in 1994 before he obliged Ukraine to give away its nuclear weapons, before they were certain that Russia wasn't a revanchist power as we know it to be. At the same time, I don't mean to delve into irony too much, but oft times, Professor, I come up against the Americans in the telling. First time, John Quincy Adams is the ambassador to the court of Catherine the Great. Doesn't understand it, but spends some time there, and he's a very smart man. The second time is when Herbert Hoover's need to feed people in Europe also feeds the Soviets. Otherwise, they would have starved out of existence during the period between 17 and 21. The third time is important to me. Walter Duranty lying about the Holodomor. So Americans have been involved in several centuries of the tragedy of Ukraine. I want to race to Khrushchev. He's not Ukrainian, but he's from the Kursk region. So is Brezhnev. Does that influence his decision-making about Ukraine?
Well, so you're right. Khrushchev was born in what is now Russia, just across the border from Ukraine, but he actually grew up in Ukraine. And until he became, or before he became the Secretary General, most of his career was in Ukraine. He was the party boss in Ukraine in 1930s, then after World War II. So he's definitely part of the Ukrainian Communist Party apparatus and their networks. And once he became the Secretary General of the Communist Party and the leader of the Soviet Union, that shows you how important Ukraine was for Moscow, that someone who spent most of his career in Ukraine reaches this position. You know, the person who replaced him, Brezhnev, he was born in Ukraine and grew up in Ukraine and also had a huge chunk of his career in Ukraine. So from the Moscow, from the Soviet perspective, Ukraine is the crucial part of the Soviet state. And Khrushchev definitely knows the situation on the ground, and his key decision during that time is to transfer Crimea, which was part of the Russian Federation, to Ukraine in 1954 for purely economic and practical reasons. You know, internal borders did not mean anything in the Soviet Union, but simply the government in Kiev, the Republican Communist government in Kiev was closer to Crimea and could take better care of Crimea than Moscow, which was far away across the sea. And we're still fighting over this Khrushchev's decision whether to transfer Crimea from Russia to Ukraine. That's what Putin is talking about. You know, you can recently hear Elon Musk using the language of Khrushchev's mistake. I was surprised that Elon Musk doesn't even know who Khrushchev is, but apparently he's very concerned about the fate of Crimea. So yes, definitely, Ukraine is absolutely essential for the communist state and absolutely essential for Moscow.
What we're looking at here is a period in which Ukraine, Stalin's death, Khrushchev making the secret speech, not so secret, and a lightening of touch of the brutality of the Soviet state means that in the 1960s, because Ukraine has some gifts given by God, that would be coal, and an industrial base becomes a manufacturing center for Russia. Why does this matter? Because they build the missiles that turn into Roscosmos. And the manned space efforts and satellites of the 1960s. This is the golden period of the Soviet state when it looked like it was outcompeting the U.S. All of that is necessary to understand that a young man born in 1953 in Petersburg, Vladimir Putin, experiences Ukraine as part of Russia and the Great Patriotic War as the most heroic effort ever. He also watches, thanks to the professor, I didn't know this, a romantic movie about a Russian spy in Berlin during the war, and that's when he commits himself to the KGB. But Vladimir Putin pictures Ukraine in this calm period of the 1960s, relatively speaking, before the turmoil of 1968 and afterwards. So image, if I understand your presentation correctly, Professor, Vladimir Putin's image is always of a Ukraine that wants to be a romantic center for Russia in the summertime. You can go on vacation there because it's warm, to provide the fleet, the Black Sea fleet, to provide the grain and to volunteer to defend Russia. That's how he sees it. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think so. You said he pictures. I don't think he even pictures because, you know, it's implicit. It's taking for granted that Ukraine is essentially an extension of Russia because people there speak Russian. Why they speak Russian? Because Stalin starved those who spoke Ukrainian and forcibly Russified those who did not speak Russian, like my own family. That's where, you know, the greatness of the Soviet industries, that's where coal mines, that's where the missiles, not just those who go to space, but also ballistic missiles that should target the U.S. in the case of a nuclear war. They are produced in Ukraine. So it's not even, you know, it's not even a question. For people of his generation, Ukraine is Russia, and Ukrainians are essentially Russians. On top of that, there is, of course, the Crimea, which is, you know, which is the Soviet Florida. Soviets cannot travel overseas for vacation. Very small number of people in the party elite are allowed to travel overseas. So where everyone in the U.S. go for summer vacations? They go to Crimea because that's the closest thing to overseas. You know, old Greek cities and medieval ruins and stunning, absolutely stunning sea and cliffs. So that's how Ukraine starts being perceived as Russia, and also Russians become emotionally attached to Ukraine because it's ours. You know, we spent such a wonderful time when we were young there. And again, I haven't met a single Russian who have not been to Crimea, for their summer vacation. And from the perspective of someone like Putin, yes, Ukraine is Russia, should be Russia, and it's not even up for debate.
The crisis of the Soviet state very quickly through the 70s and 80s. Remember, Brezhnev thinks of Ukraine as Russia as well, and he dominates until the very quick turnover of general secretaries, and we come to Gorbachev. Gorbachev was equally a brute towards Ukraine, surprisingly so, given his Nobel Prize and his image of having peacefully ended the Soviet state. Not accurate. But in any event, once the Soviet state fails, there's another moment for Ukraine to become independent. And that's when Yeltsin seems to back off in the 1990s. Now we're going to turn now to what happens in the 21st century, because the disorder that we now see in Europe is a function of, in many instances, what is Russia's intention towards Ukraine? It was always an open question that was not answered in the 1990s under Bill Clinton. It's certainly been answered within the first 20 years of the 21st century with an uncertain future. The book is Intent to Destroy, Russia's 200-year quest to dominate Ukraine. We're coming near the end of the 200 years with Professor Eugene Finkel. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.